a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
Good evening, 6 o'clock at KSL News Radio. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Still 93 degrees, mostly cloudy in Salt Lake City. KSL's top story, a Utah lawmaker has made a move to require that members of the clergy report sexual abuse. Right now, the state's mandatory child abuse reporting law has an exemption for the clergy. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz has the story.
Representative Phil Lyman says this exemption in Utah's law leaves room for subjectivity in protecting victims. He says it's lawmakers' duty to clear this up. Lyman says the discussion to do this has been in place well before a recent AP article claiming there was a case of failed reporting of child abuse within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Alternatively, if clergy are forced to report, this could deter abusers from confessing and allow abuse to continue.
The benefits of clergy reporting outweigh any people clamming up about speaking to their clergymen. Top secret documents are at the heart of the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, the search warrant for former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home shows that agents collected nearly a dozen documents by varying classifications. ABC News Chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl has more on those documents.
11 separate entries referencing classified information, and they list the level of classification as well. Secret, top secret, and top secret SCI, one of the highest levels of classification, something that few people in government have access to and must always be reviewed in a secure location.
The warrant indicates the Justice Department is investigating the potential violation of at least three separate criminal statutes, including one that falls under the Espionage Act. John Cohen, a former counterterrorism coordinator at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, is an ABC News contributor.
What they will want to make sure is that there was no intention to provide those documents or that information to a foreign power who seeks to injure or create harm against the United States.
Former President Trump accuses the Department of Justice of playing politics, saying the documents were declassified. Federal law enforcement is concerned about the possibility of copycat crimes after a man tried to break into an FBI office in Ohio yesterday. The man's social media posts indicate that he was angry over the FBI search of President Trump's home. Former FBI agent and ABC News contributor Richard Frankel says the crime attracts like-minded individuals.
You have these people who actually become more violent and more active in their desire to cause violence because they've seen that somebody was successful in the sense of getting on TV.
The suspect in yesterday's incident was shot and killed after an hours-long standoff with police. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
Police are looking for an 18-month-old boy whose parents left Utah after a South Salt Lake shooting at a Winco parking lot. This was last May. 3 months after the shooting, police say the boy's mom is back in Utah, but the child's not with her. Authorities think that 18-month-old Stephen Coleman Jr. is in Texas with his dad, who's wanted in connection with the shooting. Police now have a suspect in custody after an 11-year-old was hit and killed earlier this week, and the driver left the scene. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe with the latest.
Police arrested 45-year-old Stephen Rollins for investigation of leaving the scene of an accident involving death. Police say a neighbor called them last night and reported the truck matching the suspect vehicle description, and that truck also had damage to the front.
Police say the 11-year-old was walking on the sidewalk with his mom when he was hit on Wednesday. Rain across the Wasatch Front has caused pooling on some roads. The National Weather Service in Salt Lake City says there's small stream flooding now in West Jordan, in West Valley City, South Jordan, in Kearns. They say those areas have already gotten 1 or 2 inches of rain this afternoon. Be very careful if you're out driving, and we'll continue to watch traffic for you. Every 10 minutes on the nines here on KSL News Radio. Utah received nearly 2 inches of rain over the last month. It's more than the typical 1.5 inches. Michael Sanchez with the Utah Division of Water Resources says Utahns will hopefully now be able to slow their roll with the use of sprinklers.
Any residents looking to help reduce demand on our water supply can visit slowtheflow.org, and you can find tips and tricks. Also, you can find rebates that can save money and also save water.
Last week, 82% of the state was in extreme drought conditions or worse. This week, we're down to 79% of the state. KSL News Time 605, Lake Powell's Bullfrog North Ramp is still open, but it's getting dangerously close to water levels low enough to close for larger boats. The Bureau of Reclamation says it's probable that water levels will drop another 5 feet this month, which would mean only smaller boats can use the ramp. Boaters will have to use the State Line Auxiliary Ramp in Arizona once this one, the Bullfrog North Ramp, closes. KSL News Time 6:05. Ricky Meese, are you seeing evidence of this pooling in the roads?
I have definitely seen water on the road along I-80 in Parley's Canyon. A lot of it between Parley's Summit down to SR-65 East Canyon. And then in the valley, it does seem like a lot of the rain has eased for now. And so some of the roads are already in the process of drying out. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center. Okay.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.